Yeah, I love these guys. I love these guys.
John Harbaugh, after the game on Sunday night, when asked if he wants to run it back, and he said, yeah, I love these guys. Well, here we are. It's Tuesday. We're still awaiting the Ravens to announce an end-of-season press conference of some sort. We've heard nothing from inside the building. So as we sit right now, you expecting Eric and John to be back? Do you expect any coordinators here gone? What are you thinking as we sit here on Tuesday?
Well, there's certainly going to be changes. We've yet to be given any directives from the team about when they're going to make anybody available to speak about this mess. So that's a pretty clear, obvious indication that they're still sorting through this mess. And conversations ebb and flow. And John Harbaugh's been through a lot of teardowns of his staff and rebuilds of his staff, and some have gone better than others. But it's been a constant. And that's coaching, and I get that. We have a lot of people in the personnel department who've been here forever and have gotten promotion after promotion after promotion. And the hierarchy and inner workings and mechanisms over there, nobody ever messes with, tinkers with. There's not a whole lot of questions asked. So at a certain point, a coach may be kind of done. Hey, I'm always firing coaches. What's going on down the hall? How are they getting better down there? And if you think we're better off without both these coordinators, then maybe be better off without me too, because maybe I'm kind of sick of rebuilding my staffs here. So those are things that, you know, there's agents involved, there's lawyers that are involved, and maybe it all becomes relatively hunky-dory and they're hiring a whole bunch of coaches under John Harbaugh in the next couple of weeks. I don't think it's out of the question that they're both gone. I have long maintained that they should go together, and I think you can look at a body of work, signings, draft picks, trades that were made, trades that could have been made that weren't made, the overarching principles of roster construction, and say, yeah, this GM just doesn't get it. And the old way, the Ozzie Newsome way, all that needs to go. You need to start and reboot with people who, you know, don't have legacies here and don't have previous careers here where they were underlings or whatever. We shall see. There's obviously going to be a shakeup of some significant degree. Do I think it involves the two most prominent people in their football administration? I certainly think it could involve at least one of them. But again, it's very hard to have a read when the one guy who's going to be deciding all this isn't really a member of this community, doesn't really want to have anything to do with his fan base, has been completely detached from this area in terms of any sort of outward accountability for the better part of a decade now. So that makes it difficult, because, you know, when a billionaire who bought in for $700 million, who's going to sell it for $6 billion, who thinks it's okay to threaten people about lease deals and make ultimatums, you know, through a select group of media who he allowed talk to him once in the course of 8 years, when that's what you're dealing with, it's hard to know, because he hasn't felt he needs to give anybody any direction about what he thinks of his franchise for basically 8 years. I mean, he hasn't had a proper question and answer session since 2018. I don't believe he's ever answered questions from anybody other than the four people he invited to a suite in Florida once and Marlon Humphrey on his podcast. I don't believe he's ever answered any questions about Lamar Jackson, the entirety of Lamar Jackson's tenure in Baltimore. It's kind of staggering. I mean, I remember, you know, when Peter Angelos, who maybe was already of declining mental faculties, would be just ripped to shreds over not answering questions, never being available. We're talking about the end of the 2018 season, the last time this guy felt like he needed to let you know where anyone stood with him. So that certainly clouds and complicates things.
Sure, and we'll get more into that in a second. But what we do know about Steve Bisciotti throughout his time here, and they've sort of modeled the Steelers, and they love continuity. Both of these organizations hate change. They hate it. But
except the Steelers have changed their spots in the last 2 years.
Correct, but I'm saying a head coach has been there and hasn't won a playoff game in 10 years. That doesn't happen in sports. But at some point, change needs to happen, whether that's with the head coach, whether it's with the GM, personnel department, all of that, because this past year was unacceptable. And if you're looking at just the coaching, home record, Worst in franchise history. Six losses. The blowouts at home in prime time. The Patriot game debacle with Derrick Henry standing on the sidelines for the last 13 minutes of that football game. The Bills game where he had the opportunity to go for it on a fourth and short and you opted to punt it to Josh Allen, who ended up getting a game-winning score on that drive. And then personnel-wise, talking about Eric DaCosta, the O-line sucked. The D-line sucked. Mm-hmm. We knew that going into the year. You didn't take any meaningful swings with decent money or trading premium draft picks. The acquisitions that you did make were failures for the most part. Jair Alexander was a whiff. Cooper Rush was a whiff. Emory Jones in the third round, and he very well could go on and have a great career. But...
For hey, John a team, Jenkins, like Raven for life.
For a team that was Super Bowl or bust, yeah. Regardless of what John Harbaugh said prior to the season, to take a guy with a day two pick, knowing that he was hurt, knowing that he had to undergo surgery, those type of value plays can't keep happening. How you do spend your money, it can't keep happening this way. You were dead last in offensive line spending this year. You were 30th in edge rush spending this year. 7th in linebacker, 7th in safety, corner high up there. Like there has to be significant recalibration with how this organization operates across the board. But what do I expect? I think the further we get removed from that final game of the season, I think it's more likely that John Harbaugh is going to return. I expect there to be some turnover at the coordinator spots. I never thought that Eric DaCosta would get fired. I expect him to stay. I think that it probably is time to move on from John, but I expect him to probably remain.
Yeah, I think fans aren't going to be thrilled by this, but as we sit here right now, I would agree. I think it's an overhaul of the coaching staff with the head coach staying. It is where we sit now. The fact
which would
that
be very in line with an organization that has been all about complacency,
sure,
above all else.
Yeah, I agree.
They want to sell that they're Super Bowl or bust, but they're really, yes, status quo. Run it back. This would be like Mike Brown. I don't have to deal with lawyers and letting people have their contracts, yeah, and trading coaches. I'll just keep paying them. I don't want to pay them to leave. I don't want to start over. I don't want to fly around the country and talk to the best and brightest football minds about maybe actually maximizing what's left of Lamar Jackson's tenure. I'm just going to keep riding with these guys until I eventually sell the team and make $5 billion on it.
So when they sell stability, you say that equals complacency, correct?
It does for me, yeah, because this team has been in – it's not been in gradual decline. You can go back to the totality of the season that they ended up hosting the AFC Championship game, and they're a shell of what they were then.
It's hard to say that there isn't complacency. If you do run it back with Harbs and you do run it back with Eric DaCosta, this is a generational talent in Lamar Jackson. He won an MVP in his first full year as starting quarterback. They've been the number one seed multiple times. They had a home AFC championship game. That's their only conference championship appearance since Lamar Jackson has been here. At some point, something has to give. Something should give. And if it doesn't, there's an air of complacency.
Look. There was an air of complacency when you went, like, you guys like to, you know, you think I, you know, always tongue-in-cheek or whatever. Sashi Brown runs this franchise. This guy lives on a boat in the Caribbean. When you go from Dick Cass, who commanded respect, who kept people in line, who could be a good cop and a bad cop, who helped Jerry Jones purchase the Dallas Cowboys, who's embedded in league circles and unanimously respected, yes, and for league meeting after league meeting that the guy doesn't want to get off his boat for, he goes and represents the team and represents the team with class and aplomb, and he's got a resume built on his own accomplishments. And then you just give the guy, you gave it to a guy who was 0-16 as a general manager who was running the Washington Mystics. That happened. It happened overnight. It happened with a press release. Not even the billionaire didn't owe you an explanation about that. Not even for us.
He
How about the message?
Talked.
How about the message to his own employees? Yeah. You took a massive leap. Go trace everything that's happened here since then. They're about to go to war with the quarterback again. They're about to gut their coaching staff again. The roster has been in disrepair because the GM is not very good at his job. And the overarching sentiment is, we know best. Our hubris and our extreme arrogance will eventually trump all. And just keep, we're just going to keep riding our wave. Because you know what Bisciotti truly knows? He don't know where they're going to finish next year. He don't know what the playoffs hold. He don't know what Lamar's next deal is going to be like. But he will put $150 to $200 million in his pocket next year. And the price of this team will only continue to escalate exponentially. That's what he knows. And he said the quiet part out loud. Because he told you back the one time he talked to the Core Four, give me the lease I want or I'm going to sell the team. It's not staying in my family. I want the $600 million. I want to use it how I want to use it. Or I'll sell the team now to somebody else and they can deal with this crap. But I'm going to make $5 billion off my investment.
We have a huge Tuesday show and maybe
$5 billion. Yeah, think about that.
That's a lot of zeros.
You guys know I'd do something for
$10,000. Yeah.
$10,000.
You would jump off a diving board.
Would.
Yeah. Massive show. Hopefully we get some news out of the castle before 6 o'clock today. Guest-wise, Orioles, so they have a big move coming. We'll talk to Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner, covers the O's at 3 o'clock. And Kyle Goon, columnist from the Banner. It's a Banner day here on Inside Access. He had a piece recently about Steve Bisciotti. He had a piece about Tyler Loop, combining kickers there. So get his thoughts on Ravens and everything surrounding them as the season's over at 4:30.
Yeah, obviously a lot's going on in the NFL right now. We'll touch on a little bit. Yesterday, we really didn't get to Cleveland, Cincinnati, all the other things are going on. So we will expand our purview a little bit here today and look at teams that actually are trying to get better and hold people to account. What's going on there? But yeah, I mean, there's still a lot to dissect with the Ravens. We'll talk about the Terps a little bit. They seem to be in real disrepair.
Banner year for local teams.
Kyle Goon has been one of the few people around here who has written critically about the job done by the Ravens front office and who does seem to be, I've been talking about Silent Steve forever. He seems to be also wondering when the guy who makes the most money from any pro sports franchise around here, despite only having to put on performances, well, you know, he used to be able to throw playoff games in there, but not so much anymore around here. He seems to be pretty interested in hearing from that guy. Who knows if we ever will.
Coming up next. Perfect segue, necessary roughness. It's time to hear from the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, Steve Bisciotti. We'll explain next here on The Fan.